You're listening to Mom Talk, the online community radio show connecting moms across Canada and around the world. Join Helen, Kara, and Tracy, the parenting team from CanadianParents.com, as they talk all things mom. Mom Talk, a podcast for moms, by moms, because we're all in this together. Hi, everyone. This is Helen.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Tracy.
And we're the moms from MomTalk.ca. You know, the experts tell us that many children are not read to regularly by parents or family members, despite the evidence of a relationship between reading regularly to a child and that child's later reading development. Why? The reasons vary, but there is no denying we live in a fast-paced world filled with gadgets that steal our time away. How can we fit in reading? How can reading compete with the thrill and excitement of today's technology? Video games, DVDs, music, lots of extracurricular activities. Kids have so much to choose from, and if books are not part of who they are, why would they make the time or pass on technology for a book? Raising a reader has always been important to parents, but many struggle with how to get their children to really love reading. So how do we get our kids to fall in love with an afternoon on the couch with their favorite book? We put our heads together, did a little digging, and can say with confidence that you have to start with some time, provide a place, challenge them a little, and most importantly, never stop reading to them. Kara, what do you do to get reading?
Time is a challenge in my house, as you know, with four children and one being a newborn. I find that I try not to focus on bedtime as much because bedtime is usually chaotic in the house. So what I'll try and do is make some time when I'm sitting down feeding the baby or just before nap time for Kieran, my two-year-old, or while Kieran is napping, maybe sit down with Liam and do some reading with him. And as well, Mackenzie, when she first gets home from school, maybe make some time for her. Time is always a challenge for everyone. But, you know, I try my best to do things around the day. And, you know, when I have a few free moments, maybe make some time for reading then.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think the key is have books around. We have things in the van for when we're out. If we get stuck and we're waiting, there's something for them to read, even if they're activity books. We certainly try our best to do reading at night. We can't get hooked on the fact that if we don't read to them at night, we can't read to them at all. So I think, Kara, you're really smart in finding ways to fit it in throughout the day.
And something I would love to add that I don't think is going to work.
Go ahead anyway.
Having teenagers, whenever something comes into the house that I really want them to read, I put it by the toilet in their bathroom.
Well, that's where my husband does his reading. So. Why not?
Now, Tracy, you said that before bed you'd often pile together on your bed. Do you guys have like a special place that you read, or do you just kind of read wherever?
We're like you, Tracy. We gather everyone up and we read in bed. We have a huge bed in our house. We'll sit there and gather the books around us when we have time, whether it's in the middle of the afternoon or at bedtime, which it's usually in my bed is when we do our reading.
We actually never read in our book. I suppose that sometimes when the kids were little, they might bring a book in, but we don't actually do that. That sounds like a really good idea, especially like on a Saturday morning, getting the kids to go grab some of their favorite books. Even though my kids are starting to get beyond picture books, they still really like them. So I wouldn't even mind if they grabbed some of those. I know when they were little, we used to have a quiet time after lunch, and I would pull out a bunch of books. And it wasn't really like they had to read, but that was really the only option. And they would just pick up books, and sometimes I'd read to them, sometimes they'd read to themselves, sometimes they'd just look at the pictures, and that was just wherever it happened to be. We live close to a beach, and I know my husband loves to go down and read at the beach, and he's pulling my daughter along with them now. So I think the perfect place to read is anywhere that's comfortable.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one of our posters, My Two Boys. We have a thread on reading that's going on right now, and I wanted to go over what she said. She said, "I always read every day to my oldest son. And then when my second child was born, I would read to my oldest while I was nursing the baby. That kept him happy and out of trouble. But my second son would not sit still long enough for me to read him a story, maybe a page or two, and then he was off and running. Now that they're 12 and 9, it really helps to let them choose what they want to read. My oldest loves ghost stories and Guinness Book of World Records, and my younger is into anything about hockey or Captain Underpants. Now I have to say, Captain Underpants isn't one of my favorites, but at least my son is reading.
Exactly.
As for my daughter, she loves me to read to her, book after book. Her favorites are Disney Princess, Berenstain Bears, or anything by Robert Munsch.
It's interesting that some kids want to be read to and others are content to read on their own. And sometimes I think that our kids want us to read to them just because it just provides an opportunity to stop. and just spend time with them.
Oh, that's so true.
I do think that we tend to be running a little bit too fast sometimes.
It's a way of giving them, even though you're not really talking directly to them, they know that they've got your undivided attention. It really helps to promote that one-on-one.
I think when we talk about a place to read, I sometimes think that kids who grow up to be readers, and Tracy, I think that you would agree with this, it's not as much about having the right chair or even having a big library at home. It's more about having an atmosphere that lends itself to making reading something that just happens. And I think it starts with the parents. I would imagine that the parents spend some of their time reading and the kids see them reading. They're more likely to see that as something that you do versus if the focus is only on the kids reading and they never, ever see their parents read, I don't know that they would ever make it part of their lifestyle.
Exactly. I want to mention one other member, Vegan Mom, one of our moderators. She says, never make them read, let them read.
Yeah.
I really like that.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I think it's excellent advice. And I was thinking about when we go to the library, and they do this in the adult section, although I don't know that I notice them as much as I do in the kids. But you know how the librarians usually take the time to put out some books so that the kids can see them? And they might be the new books, or it might be a combination of new and maybe a book the librarian really loves and wants to see a kid pick up.
Or themed books around the seasons and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should do that at home. I mean, if you have a library of books, or even if you have just a small shelf of books, even putting a few of them out on the coffee table, I think it can catch the attention of a child. And it could be that maybe they're really into skateboarding right now. So if you have something on skateboarding, you put it out, I think they're more likely to pick it up if it's there than sitting on a shelf where they can't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost being like a librarian at home and bringing them out, I often will put a couple books on the table for when the kids come home at the end of the day, and then they'll just be sitting there. It's hard for them not to want to look at them. So I think having them out for them to see is really good. What about actually going to the library? Tracy, did you take your kids to the library when they were young, or did you do a lot of your reading just at home?
We went to the library a lot and always left with piles and piles of books, especially in the summertime. I'd get them enrolled in different library programs, different reading programs that were going on. Or often we would just go and I'd let them do their own thing. And there was always a nice, comfortable place for them to sit, and they could get their book and just sit down and read. The books that they wanted, they would give to me and I'd check them out. But I was always looking for books for myself, too. So we'd leave with a good bundle of books, and I'd keep them on the coffee table in the family room. There was always a fresh pile of books on the coffee table in the family room. So they were always out there and accessible to them. They might take their favorite up to their room, and, well, that's usually what happened. And I always had specific books for, I had three children at home, so I always had specific books. I picked out special books for each one of them. And as they got older, I found that kind of was the key to really getting them to read as young adults, getting them into the chapter books that they would want to read. Because you can't make a child read. It's just totally impossible.
Right. Right.
Like Vegan Mom says, you have to just kind of let it happen. And, you know, as they got into authors, you know, I just kind of kept track of that. And even if they weren't at the library with me on a certain day, I'd always make sure that I covered everybody in the family, including myself and my husband. So, you know, I was picking up books for everyone. And,
yeah.
And often there were times when I was off, I would miss the boat and they didn't like what I picked for them. But I always kept trying. And now they're older teenagers. And, you know, often now it's actually going to a bookstore and letting them picking up the latest book in whatever series they're into. Or then also whenever we went away on trips, that was the big thing about making sure they always had books to read. And then we'd also do books on tape in the car.
Yes, Robert Munch's website has lots of books that you can download for books on tape in your vehicle.
Is that right?
Yeah, if you go to robertmunch.com, you can download lots of stories. For younger children, you can do that. I was going to say, I don't get to the library as often as I wish because it's just inconvenient for me. But a place where I borrow books is from my Family Resource Center. And they have a really great book selection for moms and dads, as well as the younger kids, our resource centers for children under six. And today, actually, one of the facilitators, Carolyn, she mentioned to me that, or one of the suggestions was, like, how are we going to encourage more kids to borrow from the lending library? And I mentioned to her about, like, doing an incentive like a bookworm. And I remember in sixth grade, we had one. A teacher did one once. It was a a worm that went around the whole classroom. So it started off with the face, and then each time one of the kids in the class would read a book or return the book back, they would fill their name of the book, and they would add a circle onto this worm that went around the whole classroom. And so I mentioned that to her today, and she thought that was a fantastic idea to encourage the kids to see that bookworm grow around the area for the year.
I think that's a great idea. Kara, do you think that would work for a family?
Definitely. I can't see why not. Like doing it in one of your children's bedrooms, or if you have a playroom in your house, doing it there. Somewhere visible that the kids are going to see that worm grow every day. Or, you know, every couple of days they can add a little piece to the worm.
Great idea for the summertime when, you know, a lot of families will take a break from schoolwork. And if their kids haven't developed a love for reading yet, things can get kind of put on hold until they go back to school. So starting into a holiday season, whether it's Christmas holidays or summer, it's probably a good idea to try something like that if you are struggling with getting books read and they need a bit of encouragement. Tracy, you mentioned about books on tape. We actually use audiobooks as well. And now I've got to the point where I'll take them and I'll put them on my iPod. And we listen to books going to music. Both of my kids do piano. So each on whatever their day, we listen to whatever book we've picked for that child. And for the whole year, we just do a little bit at a time. I really love listening to books on tape. I think it teaches them good listening skills and visualization. Kara, your kids are much younger, but your daughter, does she listen to audiobooks on her own, or do you do it more as a family?
Yeah, she actually has a few audiobooks that I've downloaded from a website called audible.com. You can download books there as well. And I've got her like Chicken Soup for the Preteen Soul and things like that. And she does enjoy the audiobooks a lot on her own MP3 player.
Yeah, and I think, Tracy, you were saying that sometimes you would hit the mark and sometimes you would miss it. I think sometimes as parents, we have an idea of what our kids want and we do our best, but some kids just don't have an interest in certain types of reading material. And I think the key is getting them reading in general. So that could be magazines on their favorite topic. It could be statistics books. My son reads statistics. He's 8 years old. He reads statistics books on all the hockey players. And he knows everything about every one of those hockey players. And technically it is reading. And I think it's not necessarily true that he'll only read those, but I think discouraging them from reading certain types of books and like kind of pushing novels on them, I think sometimes can discourage them from reading altogether. So
yeah.
I think a nice mixture is probably the way to go. Speaking of boys, have you guys ever noticed like a very strong difference between your boys and girls in terms of their reading abilities?
Me, not so much, just because my youngest boy is not 5 yet. So he really enjoys listening to stories. And actually my husband, he has to make up stories for him too. He doesn't like to listen to books. He wants him to tell him a story every night. So my husband has to make up a story at the top of his head every night.
That's a great idea.
So I haven't really noticed anything yet. Now, in a couple of years, I may notice, you know, a difference. But my daughter's always really loved to read and loved me to read to her.
Right. I was speaking to a librarian, and she said that the one thing that she tries to tell parents who have boys who come to her and say, you know, I can't get my son to read, what she says is that boys approach reading a lot differently than girls do. They are looking for a plot and they're looking for detailed description of things that are happening. They aren't so much caught up in the character development. So look for books that are more plot driven and less character driven. And that kind of makes sense because when you think about women tend to want to talk it out and it's all about emotions and feelings and stuff like that, where men tend to be So, I mean, that makes sense. And she says things like, you know, Goosebumps and Harry Potter, even though there's some character development, it's about, like, actions and things that are happening. And it's moving on. It's all plot-driven. So I think that probably if you have a boy who may be a reluctant reader, maybe looking at reading in that way might help as well. And
that's
I think also going to your librarian and getting some advice as far as what books are more successful with boys. If you can just get them hooked on a book, then I think it's a matter of just continuing to encourage them. But it's getting that first book behind you.
I was having trouble with my middle son. Of all my children, he was the slowest to catch on to reading. And I remember he was in grade 2 and I was in his classroom. And the teacher was telling me that Bobby loved all of the books that were about science. Not necessarily stories, but they were fact-driven books. So I picked up on that, and to this day, he is He's just more oriented that way. He's always read those type of books. Even when he watches TV, he's watching the science shows, he's watching the History Channel. He likes nonfiction.
It's funny, I kind of went through a phase like that too when I was younger. I remember my mother, for some reason, we used to get the book orders in school. My mother would always encourage me to order whatever books I wanted and was really good about that. I remember one year I ordered an atlas, and I would sit there and read that atlas and look through and you know, look at the different countries. And I think really I have a love of geography to this day. I'm really good with maps and directions, and I'm sure that was a big basis of that.
In Canada, during the spring, they have reading programs in the school, and it really encourages kids to read, but it also encourages kids to read Canadian books. And the program is split up into fiction and nonfiction. So I think they've identified that some people really do kind of gravitate towards nonfiction. I think it also exposes the kids to nonfiction, because if you're raised in a home where it's all novels, you may not even have the opportunity to read books like that. So I think providing both for our kids is a good idea. And then whatever they decide they really like is what they end up going with. Sometimes nonfiction can be boring to somebody who's looking for character development, and then vice versa for someone who's looking for just the guts of the information. Before we move on to share some of our favorite books, I just wondered, we have talked a little bit about reading aloud, but I know a few years ago I read a book by Mem Fox, and it's called Reading Magic, Why Reading Aloud to Our Children Will Change Their Lives Forever. It's a really great book because it really helps you to understand the importance of reading out loud to your children. Outside of reading out loud to your children when they can't read, which is kind of a little easier, she really focuses a lot on when your kids can finally read, don't stop reading to them.
I think that's a great point. I was actually listening to a podcast just a few days ago called JustOneMoreBook.com. It's all about children's books, and they have different interviews with children's authors and illustrators. And I was listening to one where the illustrator said that her father continued to read aloud to her and her sister until they were well into their adult years. They were getting ready to move out of the house, and he would still be reading to them aloud. And while he was reading to them aloud, they would draw. And that's where her love of drawing came from. And, you know, it may be about what the book was about at the time, but maybe it wasn't related at all. And she would sit there and sketch away while he was reading to her, and she's now an illustrator. So I thought that was a great thing, that to know that there's not really a magic age to stop, even though your children can read to themselves.
That takes us to our favorite books, and I'm just going to move right to the chapter book, because when we talk about reading out loud to our kids, Chronicles of Narnia are my absolute favorite set of books, and they have been since I was much younger. And now that I can finally share them with my kids, I'm really happy because they read aloud so nicely. The kids, they just won't move when I'm reading. And although my daughter is old enough, she could easily read them by herself, it just means that we have this really special time. And I love that they're a series of books, because we don't read a book and then we're done and then maybe life gets busy. It's almost like they don't want me to stop because there are many books still to come. If I had to vote for my very favorite chapter book, it would be Chronicles of Narnia. They are great for kids to read, but they're a fantastic set of books to read to your children. Tracy, what about you? What's your favorite chapter book for your children?
Well, I have many favorite chapter books, but I have a really cute memory that goes along with this set of books. They're by Kenneth Opel, and the first one is called Silver Wing, and the second one's Sun Wing, and then the third is Fire Wing. But he first came out with Silver Wing, and my middle son, who was, if any of my kids could be a reluctant reader, he was one of them. And I thought, okay, now it's time for him to read a novel, and I know he's going to love this because he loves facts. And we just finished doing a project on bat for his classroom. And this is an adventure about a bat who's actually the runt of the litter. And it's just an awesome, awesome tale. And anyway, I wanted Bobby to read the book by himself. And this was sort of like after story time when he's in his bed. So I had said, Bobby, why don't we start reading this book? And he said, oh, no, Mom, look, I can't do that. So I said, I'll start reading it for you, but I can only read one chapter. So I lied down in bed with just him. And I read him the first chapter, and I said, well, look, I've got to go, but you can continue reading yourself. Well, he got through that book so quickly, and that was the first chapter book he finished. And, of course, he went on to read the rest, and it was just smooth sailing from there on.
That's great.
And they have won awards.
Kara, you probably aren't into as many chapter books yet with the younger kids, but certainly your daughter has been into chapter books. What chapter books are your favorite?
My favorite are the Judy Blume series. The first one was called Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. And it's a close one to my heart because it was one of the first chapter books I remember my teacher in fourth grade reading aloud to us as a class. And it really got me into reading chapter books. Like I had been reading smaller books before then, but after that, I wanted to continue and read on to the series. So there's actually three in the series. There's Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, Super Fudge, and then now Fudge Mania. And my daughter loves them as well. She wants me to read them over and over again to her.
What about picture books? Tracy, you may have to be thinking way back.
Yeah, I did save some of our favorite picture books. I'd like to leave that little nugget of help for everyone. I am so glad I saved some of our favorite books. And if you have an opportunity to do that, I would, because years later, it's so much fun looking back on them, and the kids love looking at them, and it just rekindles so many memories for me. One of our favorite books was Wacky Wednesday, and I have read that book a million times. It's by Dr. Seuss. It is a wacky book, and there's a lot of repetition in it. My kids just always loved that book. They wanted me to read it every night for years and years. And I couldn't make up my mind when it came to my favorite book. So another really favorite picture book of mine of the kids was Giant Steps for Little People by Kenneth Taylor. And it's a picture book with very, very detailed pictures. And in each picture, there's also repetition because there's a ladybug hidden in all the pictures. But it's the actual text of the book that I really like. It's really a value book. It talks about a lot of life learning lessons and can spend a long time on one page, and it gives you questions to ask your children. And yeah, it's one of my favorite books too. So that's Giant Steps for Little People by Kenneth Taylor.
Kara, you are in the thick of the picture book world right now. What's your favorite?
Well, my favorite would be Love You Forever by Robert Munch. And I'm sure it's a favorite among a lot of people. And it's a tale about a mom reading to her baby, and then her son grows up and she continues to read to him, saying she'll love him forever and always. He'll always be her baby. And as the tale ends, it's the son reading to the mother and saying that forever you'll always be my mother and I'll love you forever. And every time I get teary reading the book every single time I read it.
I know, we love that book as well. When my daughter was little, we read so many books to her. She just could not get enough of it. So I have a million favorite picture books. So my vote for a favorite picture book is actually called The 20th Century Children's Book Treasury. And I love it because it contains a lot of our favorite books. So things like Goodnight Moon, Curious George, Snowy Day, Madeline. A lot of those books were favorites. It still actually are. My son still likes some of those books. And I love that it's all in one because, similar to you, Tracy, I want to hang on to some of these.
Mm-hmm.
And if I hung on to all of our favorite books, I would need another house just to hang on to all my favorite books. So this is a great little collection. And I don't know how many books are in it, probably around 25 or so of some of these best read books. And we recently gave a copy of this book to my cousin who had his first baby. And in the front, we wrote down all of the kids' favorite. Like we put, you know, Emmy's favorite or Sam's favorite or Kale's favorite. And so it's kind of a special gift for him to see kind of what we've really enjoyed. And then he can share that with his kids. So that will be mine. Moving over to activity books. You know, books that aren't necessarily chapter books or picture books, but can still provide a lot of fun and entertainment and time together with your kids. Kara, what sort of activity books do you guys tend to gravitate towards?
Well, my daughter loves to draw. So we really, really enjoy the Usborne Learn to Draw book. They're step-by-step on how to draw certain things. Like she has one, how to draw cartoons, how to draw people, how to draw animals. And they've been fantastic. Like she will spend hours with those books drawing different figures from them. So they're really a good series of books, the Usborne Learn to Draw book.
Tracy?
I'd have to say the Where's Waldo series of books. We spent hours looking for that little character. It provided many, many hours of fun for us. So that's my pick.
We really love the I Spy and the Lookalike books. And I Spy, I think most people know it's where you're looking for specific objects in a picture. And the lookalikes are, if you haven't seen them, they're basically scenes. And you have to look really closely, but the whole scene is made up of objects. And so it looks like a house or, you know, a hilly area, but you look and then you'll see cereal or you'll see pencils. And I love those books. They're great for quiet day, rainy day. If the kids are sick and I want to sit and look at a book with them, they're really good. And Christmas time, they have some really neat ones. And They have some that are very challenging and some that are kind of a little easier for when they're first starting. So those are definitely favorites in our house. Kara, as we do with each podcast, we go over to Canadian parents and look for tips from our readers. What did you come up with this time?
Okay, well, our top five tips for raising a reader. Number five would be start reading aloud at birth or even before your baby's born. Number four, visit the library often. Many have great programs for babies and toddlers, and then also school-age programs in the summer for summer reading programs. Number three, talk about books or stories that you liked as a child. Number two, let them read what they want to. Reading a magazine is still reading, and they're great for reluctant readers. And then number one best tip for raising a reader would be a reader yourself. The best way to influence kids is to enjoy reading yourself. So be sure to grab a book and let your kids catch you reading.
Oh, those are all really good tips. Thanks, Kara. To learn more about today's podcast, including resources that will help you raise a reader, visit www.momtalk.ca. And don't forget to drop by the Children's Book Talk and Chapter Chit Chat message boards at CanadianParents.com, where you'll find support, ideas, and lots of inspiration. We leave you today with this final thought. Orville Prescott of the New York Times wrote, "Few children learn to love books by themselves. Someone has to lure them into the wonderful world of the written word. Someone has to show them the way. Let that someone be you."